Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. This is an Empowering Hour. It's Earth Day. We'll be celebrating what we, as individuals and groups, can do. And then I have a little extra commentary about what we should be giving as our priorities. I'll also be, time permitting, airing a lecture that I did on Earth Day at the United Nations, where I was the invited keynote speaker. And the whole room was filled with members of environmental groups. At that time, I asked for us to take an honest look, because you will never find in life what you're not actively seeking. And unfortunately, we think that something is going to happen in a good way. You hear it all the time. Well, things will get better. Things don't exist. We exist. So we're going to take a very pragmatic look at why our environment is not improving but getting worse. Open with the latest on health and healing. And following health and healing, I'm going to share a short piece from, I believe it's IC News in Great Britain, about the phenomena there of everyone using implants. And if you go to prn.fm and scroll down, you can see the video in real time. But it is now becoming a major movement. I mentioned this to you over the last several years, that we're moving towards the push by industry and the social media platforms and the scientists appearing on television to make this look like it's really cool, because you'll be able to go through an elevator or into, let's say, a concert. You just scan your hand. You'll be able to pay for things in stores, get on an airplane, scan your hand. They're making it look so easy, so simple, so safe. They're not telling you the dark side. We will. After all, the very people who've lied consistently about everything are the people controlling this technology. And with health and nutrition, we begin. This is in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. They talk about what is a type of acylic retinoid. That's an artificial compound derived from vitamin A, and it's been found to prevent the reoccurrence of a type of carcinoma, the most common form of liver cancer. Now in this study, they found that compounds from this vitamin A derivative can kill the cancer stem cells. Now, mind you, you can debulk a cancer with surgery, but if you don't get the stem cells, it's going to grow back. And this helps prevent those tumors from growing back. And HCC, as it's called, is a highly lethal cancer which causes about 600,000 deaths each year around the world, making it the second deadliest cancer after non-cell lung cancer. One of the reasons for the high lethality is that it has a high rate of reoccurrence. Surgery and other treatments are initially effective, but the cancer often relapses. As a result, researchers have looked for ways to prevent reoccurrence, and this acylic retinoid was recently found to be effective in stopping recurrence of tumors. So that's good news. Now, on the other hand, I would say, why not simply start taking in more vitamin A in its natural form? We're deficient in vitamin A as a nation. We're not eating enough fruits and vegetables, not enough of the pigments from the orange, let's say the orange carrots, even purple carrots, to the reds of watermelon and cranberries and cherries. We need those pigments. That's important in our body. From Suzhou University in China comes a study about light therapy helping with neurodegenerative diseases. Now, there's a lot about the human brain and its intricacies that we simply know nothing about. But with the advancement of neurobiology, the pathogenesis of several neurodegenerative diseases has become more in focus. However, the current treatments offer temporary symptomatic relief and to slow down the course of the disease, but nothing that is in the orthodox model is able to cure it. Now we have. In fact, appearing on this program tomorrow will be a person who was one of 27 people who about 12 years ago came to a year and a half study. We met every week for about 4 hours, and we were able to successfully reverse Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, and dementia in a group of individuals. All of those people are alive and well today. One will be here tomorrow. Now, I was using some light therapy at the time, and based upon some earlier research that was completed back in the 1920s and 30, Roy Rife. And today, there are many different forms of light therapy, and they all have different elements of success. But this is not alternative therapy. This is orthodox therapy at orthodox institutions. Why? Because light stimulation has been proposed as a promising therapeutic alternative for treating Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cognitive and sleep disorders. What is it? Light therapy consists of controlled exposure to natural daylight or artificial light of specific wavelengths. While neurologists worldwide have begun testing its use in clinical practice, less remains understood about the mechanisms behind how light affects neurological function, though it does. Hence, in a review article published in Chinese Medical Journal, researchers from China comprehensively summarized the growing knowledge about mechanisms of actions, effectiveness, and clinical applications of light therapy. Neurologists and others in this study are showing some remarkable novel approaches. Mind you, these are natural and non-toxic. They don't in any way adversely affect the body. We have to remember that our body function is tuned to a circadian or day or night rhythm. The clock that controls this rhythm is housed in the hypothalamus region of the brain. The genes expressed in this region are crucial in maintaining the circadian rhythm. Thus, a malfunction of these genes can disrupt the rhythmic cycle. These defects have been associated with neurodegenerative, metabolic, and sleep disorders. External stimuli that I talk about, like light or physical activity or noise or food intake, can help in adversely affecting this. But you have to restore normal circadian rhythms, thus alleviating many of the symptoms. And that's what light therapy helps do. Keep in mind that a mechanism by which the clock controls circadian rhythms is through the secretion of melatonin. That's a hormone, by the way. And melatonin, secreted by the pineal gland in the brain, is known to control sleep patterns, as it is secreted in higher amounts in night than in the day. Light stimulation, in this case, suppresses the secretion of melatonin during the day and thus reduces drowsiness. Interestingly, different tissue and organs in the body may respond differently to light stimulation. Furthermore, different biomolecules expressed in circulating immune cells and stem cells are sensitive to specific wavelengths of light and thus elicit different responses by promoting the secretion of neurotropic factors that can rescue neuronal function. So it's good for the brain. So just to let you know that a lot of work is being done throughout the world with light therapy, and it's work, and it's becoming easier to understand, and the applications more broad-based. From Hebrew University in Jerusalem comes a study about, and by the way, this study provides the first comprehensive analysis of how junk food impacts your skeletal development. So a team of researchers from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem has proven the linkages between ultra-processed foods and reduced bone quality, unveiling the damages of these foods, particularly for younger children in their developing years. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Bone Research. And it serves as the first comprehensive study of the effect of widely available food products, junk foods, on skeletal development. They're called ultra-processed foods, but they're really just junk foods. Pretzels, pizzas, potato chips, muffins, bread, as we currently use it, these are junk foods, all loaded with sugar, refined carbohydrate. So, as much as 70% of a young child's food intake can be calories consumed from these ultra-processed foods. And we wonder why children are not growing normally and are having all forms of problems and are having weaker bones and less muscle mass. That's the reason. And one good study in from South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute, the world's largest well-being study, and here's what they found. See if any of this sounds familiar. For decades, researchers have known that positive mental well-being seems to deliver significant improvements in physical health and development and lifespan, which suggests looking after your mind and mental state is one of the most effective ways to care for the rest of your body and well-being. But what's the best way to actually promote personal mental well-being? In a new study led by scientists in Australia, researchers cast a wide net. They analyzed almost 420 randomized trials employing different types of psychological intervention to help improve mental states. The results, a meta-analysis examining 53,000 participants involved in hundreds of psychological experiments, is being billed as the world's largest study of its kind on well-being and giving perhaps the most comprehensive overview ever on how interventions can help towards having a healthier mind and body. We need that now. We have an absolute pandemic of depression and anxiety disorders around the world, but also in the United States. So this is important because according to the Medical Research Institute, quote, during stressful and uncertain periods in our lives, proactivity work on your mental health is crucial to help mitigate the risk of mental and physical illness. Our research suggests there are numerous psychological approaches to people should experiment with to determine what works for them, end quote. In itself, that might seem obvious, right? It's self-evident. But as these researchers point out, up until now, our awareness of psychological interventions' relative efficacy has been obstructed, given much research treats mental well-being and mental illness as different things, although they are overlapping concepts in some ways. So, what do we know? We know that keeping a positive attitude will impact your feelings, your behaviors, and your thinking patterns. And kind of coincidental because I just had this lecture last evening. I did about 12 hours of lecture yesterday, 2.5 hours late last night to a group. And the whole thing was, and the theme was this, you can never find in life what you don't look for. So start looking for the truth and then connect the truth to your current belief systems. And it's not black and white. They're all forms of spectrum conditions. Some of our beliefs are good, some are not. Some of our dietary habits are great, some are terrible. Some of our attitudes work, some don't work. Our reaction to things are generally negative. Our reasoning about things is normally positive. So I went back to what I was discussing the night before was when I ask a general question, who's responsible for the exploitation and the manipulation of the American public about COVID? I gave that as one example, but then I gave other examples as well. Who got us into the Vietnam War? That was a mistake. That was wrong, but yet we supported it initially. Who got us into the Afghanistan War, which lasted nearly 20 years and with no positive outcome for anyone? Who got us into invading Iraq and destroying that whole Middle Eastern balance of power that existed? Who got us into invading Syria and Honduras and disrupting elections around the world in Ukraine? 67 different countries we've gotten into. Who caused this? Who caused, at the height of the foreclosures where 21 million Americans were homeless, who could have stopped it? Barack Obama with executive order on house foreclosures. He could have set a moratorium by executive order, no more homes to be foreclosed on and people thrown out on the street. He didn't do it. Who did he save? All of the banks. Trillions of dollars to the banks, not a penny to the American public. Now, you can like him, fine, has a wonderful personality, But then look what a person does. But we didn't. We don't. We just look at whether we're Democrat or Republican or independent, whether we're a religious view or not, and then we feel helpless. So I said, if you gave a lie detector test to all the people working for all of the manufacturers of arms in the United States, not one of them would show that they were dishonest when they said, you know, we're bringing peace to the world. We're needed. No, you're bringing death and destruction to the world. So when I ask a question, do you think any of these people wake up in the morning and go to work in the Virginia area at all these over 200 different military contractors employing over 1 million to 2 million people who make very big standard of living, do you believe any of them think, let's develop something today that will cause the skin to peel off the back of a young Vietnamese girl as she's running with napalm on her? Nobody would do that. That's insane. Let's try to see if we can't take out all the people celebrating the wedding of their son or daughter in Afghanistan in a village. Nobody does that. Let's see how many body parts we can throw into the air by hitting that nursery school and killing all the children in there with an American-made, American-directed, American plane, American bomb. No, nobody does that. Let's see if we can make a vaccine that will intentionally kill a lot of people or injure people. No. No, or a drug. No. So how then do we only blame the people who are the demonized people out front when we take no responsibility for the choices we make that allow those people who profit off of our fear, profit off of being us being propagandized and controlled, and yet we take no responsibility? So I said, so look in your clothes. Where is your clothes made? Oh, everybody's clothes was made in Bangladesh. Well, then you can't say you're for women's and women's health and rights and there's a woman being exploited for 800 million garments coming to America each day or each year. And look at your credit cards. Are those the big banks that would throw you out in a heartbeat that foreclose on all those homes? Yeah, same banks. So you're supporting people who have no sense of compassion or care or empathy for people who can't pay a mortgage. Yeah. And you voted for the politicians who invaded countries and caused millions of people to suffer or die. Yeah. And you're buying their junk food. You're listening to their radio. You're listening to their television. You're reading the New York Times. My God, if you want to stick your head in a toilet, just stick your head in a toilet while it's still full. That's reading the New York Times. Well, so the enemy is us when we do not make conscious, moral, ethical choices. How do we get there? Well, that's the issue. So now put that together as your starting point. What am I personally doing that is not allowing us to all live a healthier, better, saner, more cooperative, conciliatory, and joyful life together, where all life is respected, animal life, Mother Nature? And then you start seeing that the vast majority of people on this planet, at least in developed countries, have abrogated the responsibility to look for the truth. Because what you don't look for, you will never find. So if you don't look for the truth, you're never going to find it. You're going to be extremely susceptible to propaganda, coercion, and manipulation. And then one day you wake up and realize you've got arthritis, heart disease, you're broke, you're out of the American dream, you're on the street, you don't know where to go and what to do. And yet you'll see yourself as a victim, but you will not see yourself complicit in that process. So I'm merely suggesting that we look carefully at all of our choices to see, do they support a healthier, more viable, and peaceful solution? Or do they contribute to the Washington consensus, the Wall Street consensus, the Monsanto consensus, the nuclear consensus? And more often than not, we're supporting the very people who themselves think that they're fine. Nothing wrong with them. They're not bad people, so they think. But they've exploited every single weakness in the system. They've helped empower those weaknesses. Our justice system is just one example. If we were just, we wouldn't have 40% of the people in prison because they would be shown to be innocent. Then if we got rid of all the people and put them not in prison, to be beaten and raped, and but instead put them into communities, let them work in a community where they came from to show that they understand how to work in cooperation to make their community better. And suddenly, we've emptied out the prisons. Ah, but we won't allow that because the military, because of the prison industrial system and the politicians that support it. So you see, until we're able to look at everything by standing back and staying in neutral and looking for the truth, we can't change any of the outcomes. They're all in the hands of those who think themselves morally right, self-righteously, and ideologically on the side of the angels, and therefore have no compassion for the outcome of their deeds or misdeeds. That is a healthy mind. That's the mind that can help get you out of depression and anxiety, because it lets you focus upon things that are constructive, even though initially they look destructive, and make them better. Improving school lunch programs, improving your own health, getting out into nature, challenging what is not scientifically valid with good science that shows what you can do. Now, let me give you an example of this, considering this is Earth Day, and I want to focus some attention on this. I want to share headlines from just the last 4 months. 97% of Earth's land no longer qualifies as ecologically intact, Cambridge University says. 97% of the land around the world is no longer sustainable. We've destroyed it, or what our actions have done have caused it to be destroyed. Annual temperatures now higher than those in the last 10,000 years, Rutgers University. Carbon emissions so far in 2021 are at record highs, not going down, going up the hill. CO2 levels at the highest in 3.6 million years. National Oceanic Administration, UN Secretary General Guterres, global warming has brought humanity, quote, on the verge of the abyss, reaching 1.5 degrees Celsius. Who says? The World Meteorological Organization. Earth is now committed to a 2 degree Celsius hotter future, and it cannot be turned back, Nanjing University. Do you have any idea what's going to happen when we hit above 1.5, and we're almost there right now? What's going to happen is large areas of the United States, Kansas, a lot of Indiana, Illinois, Colorado, a lot of Missouri, a lot of our corn and or breadbasket states are going to be too hot and the ground too dry and the soil too depleted. We're creating a new dust bowl, and hence, where's all that food going to be grown? Won't be grown there. We'll initially move it up to North Dakota or some other place that is still able to grow. You increase the temperature, you've just decreased the opportunity for a normal evolutionary process. Normal evolution might take decades. And this is happening right now. This is in the last year or two. It's only going to get worse. So what about living in tropical climates? It's going to be too hot. A lot of things will no longer work, but your temperature is so high that the water is so high. And when the temperature in the ocean is high, you're going to have worse hurricanes. So get ready for Category 6. That will completely devastate Cuba, Puerto Rico, I mean, completely. You don't survive a Category 6. Look at the Bahamas, got hit with a Category 6, and look at the damage. And Category 5 will be considered normal. And you won't have anyone wanting to live in Florida, in the entire state, if we get hit with two Category 5s in the same year. The destruction without insurance, and insurance companies are refusing to insure. So if no one's insuring your home, who's going to live there? No one except a fool. And you don't want to be the fool. So there's going to be a mass exodus. Think of a collapsing economy. That is what you have to look at. Just look ahead and look at the constraints society places on adjusting itself to a problem. What are we doing to prevent that? Nothing. Zip. Zero. Each one of us has a responsibility to know that the earth is getting hotter and nothing we can do right now can stop it. We've passed the tipping point. The U.S. is about to announce this month or next water shortages in U.S. West. Associated Press. That means 40 million Americans living in Nevada and Colorado and Arizona and California and many other states, you're not going to have water. You're going to have massive shortages. And the Sierra Nevadas, where a lot of rain comes and then forms snow in cold weather and then forms snowpacks and then it melts over a many-month period, and that fills that 400-plus-mile canal that goes through California, you're not going to have water that gets clear down to San Diego or Los Angeles. That's the new reality. And that's an official position. When in your lifetime have you ever heard a statement that the Western United States is now in a 40 to 400-year drought? A new dust bowl has started in Southwest, meaning Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada, Utah, and Arizona. Where are people from California moving? Utah and Nevada. Not the right place in Arizona. Who says? The U.S. Drought Monitor. So you're looking at a dystopian future by people who are not looking for the truth. They're looking to move out of California. Understand why you'd move out of California. A lot of good reasons at this time in history. But look where you're moving. 2020, commodity-driven rainforest destruction reaches high and continues to accelerate. University of Maryland and Forest Global Forest Watch. World's largest wetlands, which is Bolivia, Paraguay, and Brazil, has become an inferno, NASA Goddard Space Station says. Amazon's rainforest is now expected to completely collapse. University of Florida. Because we, the American public, remember, take it back to what I suggested, we are the enemy. Because as long as you continue to buy genetically engineered soybeans or meat that comes from those genetically engineered soybeans and Bolsonaro and the other people running in a mad dash way to make as much profit as they can for themselves or their industries, they're destroying the lungs of the planet. So there's whole sections of the Amazon that look like deserts. One-fifth of the world's nations' ecosystems are on the verge of total collapse, and it will cost them $42 trillion to correct, and they'll lose. That is according to the Swiss Index reported in The Guardian. California braces for another extreme fire season this year, worse than any in its history, Stanford University. Climate change has decreased global farming by 21%, and now it's going to get even worse. That's Cornell University. In the past 6 months, climate change has displaced 100 million people. Have you seen a single article on that? No, that's the Red Cross. Sea level rise on coastal populations has increased 400%. University of East Anglia. Sea level rise on the east coast of the United States is the fastest in 2,000 years. Rutgers University. Yet look how many people are going to the east coast, want to be on the water. Big mistake. The world's largest ice reservoir in Antarctica is melting faster than ever. University of Colorado. The Antarctic conveyor belt, that's the Gulf Stream, taking warm water up and bring cold out. It's the weakest in 1,000 years. Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research in Germany. The 10 worst 2020 weather disasters cost $150 billion, displacing 14 million people in just the last 12 months, The Guardian. U.S. Corn Belt lost a third of its topsoil. We're back to the 1930s Dust Bowl. Have you seen a single article about it? Have you seen a 60-minute approach going back and comparing, setting side by side a video of the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma then? And now we're back. We've learned no lessons. University of Massachusetts. Organic meat production, just as bad for the climate. Technical University of Munich. But that's just the global warming. You do realize that there are at least 100 other important indices that have to be examined when it comes to the environment. Example, ocean acidification and collapse of all sea life. And right now, of all the large fish, 90% gone forever from the oceans. In one of the sections of the new film, the documentary, The Last Call for Tomorrow, I was filming a beach where you can see in the background thousands of people sitting in the sun, no one in the water. Why not? Because of the algae bloom, toxic algae. And also some people had been swimming, and they ended up with flesh-eating virus, and it killed them. And dead fish everywhere. Now imagine this for a moment. Just picture this. You have thousands of people on a beach with multi-million dollar condos up and down the beach, and you have dead fish by the millions, and it used to go once a year for a week or two. Now, almost the whole year, you'll see these blooms, and it now can go out 40 miles into the Gulf. So there's no place safe that's to swim, or to fish, because all these fish are coming with cancers and different diseases from the toxic bloom. But the people are breathing in these toxins, not realizing that their upper respiratory tract system is going to be extremely challenged by these. It was just one scene. And as if there is no irony. Well, I can't go in the water today, but I've got a $1 million apartment here and I can't leave it because I invested. Hold on to it. Hold on to your dining table on the Titanic. Don't get in a lifeboat. Wow. You have to see it to appreciate it. There's no reliable or sustainable recycling strategy or system. We've increased microplastic pollution in oceans. This ends up in the fish, and then it ends up in you who eat the fish. Agrochemical spills are the leading cause of dead lakes, dead rivers, and dead zones in the Gulf. I was down at the Gulf, the opening of the Gulf of Mexico, right in New Orleans, and it used to be that you would have some dead zone where there's no oxygen in the water, so fish die when they go in there. But now it goes out almost 30 miles. It's huge. Erosion and soil depletion from industrial chemicals, monocrop agriculture. But you say, that has nothing to do with me. Yeah, it has everything to do with you if you eat industrial monocrop food. The corn, the wheat, everything they grow, the apples, the oranges, all that's monocropped. They're using toxic pesticides and too much nitrogen-based fertilizer. That leaches into the water system. And that erosion is at a massive scale. So that's how individuals participate unwittingly and unknowingly, because no one's looking for the truth. Tar and sand oil excavation increasing. Pipeline construction and hydrofracking further devastating the wild lands, water resources, high risks of leaks, increasing toxic pollution and illness and disease, loss of forest to build land-based wind farms. Well, the dumbest things we could do are the wind farms, because we have not looked for bladeless ones, but there are bladeless ones that do not kill birds in the millions, do not cause 24/7 noise pollution. No. There's a whole new generation we could use. We're still building the old ones. And when these go bad, and they're going bad, where's the junkyard to put them in? So mining and national forest lands is accelerating. All presidents have opened up our oceans, Barack Obama and Bill, and the Clintons and Al Gore. That shouldn't be a surprise, as well as Donald Trump. If it's there, drill, baby, drill, remember that? Or exploit. The loss of our natural aquifers, the decline of snowpack, geoengineering pollution, barium, cadmium, aluminum, all falling out of the sky when those stupid efforts of, seeding that so it'll block the sun, it does diddly squat. But that's a big promotion of Bill Gates. And did anyone at the New York Times challenge him? Did they look into the toxicology of barium and cadmium and aluminum when it falls out of the sky and falls on your plants, vegetation, in our waterways, and on wildlife? No, of course they didn't. They're propagandists. They're not real reporters. wood chip energy. That's the stupidest thing imaginable. It's a faux renewable. It requires enormous amounts of forest to be cut down in order to have your stupid wood chip energy. Biofuels is called. The impact of livestock on ecosystems and wildlife and global warming. New genetically modified technologies found to be completely unsustainable. Yet should we go back to natural sustainable? Absolutely not, because the money is not in natural and organic and safe and healthy. It's in Bill Gates and the other people who are smart enough to capitalize and control. He owns the most farmland in America. Do you think he's going to plant organic carrots for you? No. Genetically engineered food. But is there research to show such things as jumping genes? Did a person like named Baltimore and was there a Nobel Prize given for understanding jumping genes where no one said a gene can jump? Yes, they can, and they do. Are we just now finding the CRISPR research, the great base of all of your genetic engineering, the big genome projects? It's causing problems. They're defective. They're causing all kinds of adverse effects that we never appreciated before. Yes, that's happening right now. It took 20 years to finally expose this. Climate change and biodiversity loss is increasing the rate of invasive species, insects, and diseases destroying forests. How many? Over 100 million trees destroyed in California alone in just a couple of years. The rise of new strains of infectious diseases and tropical diseases moving further north. So they decide it's a great idea. Let's put some genetically engineered mosquitoes and nothing could go wrong there. And all natural pollinators are on the threat of extinction, mostly due to agrochemical industry. 25% of bee species are now assumed to be extinct and have been since 1990. The Royal Geographic Society in London and Earthwatch Institute declared the honeybee as, quote, the most important living being on the planet. Sure as hell more important than anyone living in Washington, D.C. who works for the government. That's for damn sure. I'd take one honeybee over the President of the United States or anybody else, because at least the honeybee is doing something constructive and non-toxic. The EPA reports that glyphosate will likely injure or kill 93% of all remaining endangered species. There's no discussion on the contributions of climate change and environmental destruction on equality and poverty in developed nations, including the United States. The government, our government, all governments of major developed countries are complicit in the collapse of the planet. Anyone who's done something has done too little, too late. And people are, there are a few exceptions, Nepal and a few other exceptions, they are relying upon the government to do it for them, not willing to make those sacrifices as individuals. So what we have is extinction is now a political choice. Our culture of science for sale, and all of our science that is affirmed to make a profit, is for sale. There's a lot of independent scientists, quality science. In fact, next Tuesday night, we have Dr. Yeadon, who will, in my opinion, be making statements for an hour that will completely and totally destroy his career. Why? Because he was the one who helped develop some of the most common drugs. He had a big background in immunology, and now he's putting it all along by telling us the truth in a way that you have never heard before. How does someone who sat at the table of Pfizer as a vice president for years and years and years, has a 40-year reputation in the field, who's one of the most respected scientists on the planet, with lots of peer-reviewed articles, impeccable reputation, but something happened in his psyche, and he had an epiphany. He had a moment, and he said, I'm going to tell the truth. Wait till you hear what the truth is concerning COVID and the vaccines. That'll be next Tuesday. It'll end his career. They'll attack him from every level. But at least you will have the truth. So just remember, our entire culture is for sale. The pandemic of industry-funded studies that then become the fodder for policies favoring the mega corporations. Reminder, Trump reversed over 100 environmental laws, even regarding mercury emissions from coal plants. Now, from my personal perspective, I think the man is a complete functional idiot. There is not a single thing about Donald Trump or his family that I respect. But I don't believe people voted for him because of his respect. I believe they voted for him out of anger of what the smooth-talking Democrats promised and didn't deliver. But be that as it may, where were the protests? Where were the environmental scientists going out on strike? Where were the professors around the United States of Environmental Sciences joining in Washington, D.C. to show the danger of the 100 different environmental laws that he reversed? The U.S. government continues criminal subsidies to the largest contributors to everything that I just mentioned. The most money in the stimulus package, where is it going? Do you think it's going to stimulate a new infrastructure? Not at all. That's a game. It'll be given in private-public contracts. Enormous amounts of profit will go to companies who will then subcontract out for projects that will take forever, be mismanaged, as all of them always are. Everything is corrupt. Not a single word will be used to condemn any of this by the New York Times. Livestock ranchers and other factory farms for meat, subsidize. Farmers relying upon industrial chemical agriculture, subsidize. Big agri companies developing GMOs, subsidize. Food mega corporations who rely on food products, including all that I had mentioned earlier, junk food, subsidize. Subsidies to the Grocery Manufacturers Association has now replaced Monsanto as, quote, the most evil corporations on the planet, subsidize. Fossil fuels, subsidize. Banks gave over $3.3 trillion to the fossil fuel industry. So do you think your banker really wants to see a new sustainable green? Only if they can make a profit from it. Ethanol production directly related to agricultural sector, especially corn, subsidized. Export subsidies, an incentive to continue with unsustainable factory farming, particularly exports of meat and dairy, subsidized. The automobile industry, subsidized. The largest polluters, Peabody Energy, Bayer, Monsanto, Syngenta, BASF, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Sinyu Group, the Chinese coal, NRG Energy, that's a friend of the Clintons, Unilever, plastics, JBS, the world's largest meat processor in Brazil, Saudi Aramco, Allegheny Energy, Nestle, ConAgra, Mondelez, plastic maker of food in the food industry, Tyson, the second largest meat processor and second largest emission in food industry. But friends of the Clintons sponsored the Clintons, got the Clintons elected in Arkansas. Amerind, the gas, Coal India, American Electric Power, Cargill, Dairy Farmers of America, Bunge, agricultural business that rarely anyone knows about, Archer Daniels Midland, First Energy, Duke Energy. These are the biggest polluters, largest polluters, but they support Democrats and Republicans. When was the last time you saw any legislation directly impacting them? None. And do you think any of the people that work for those companies who go to work each day say, you know something, I'm glad my company is causing down in Louisiana black lung disease. Yeah, they live across the street. I went down there and filmed them. You'll see it in Last Call for Tomorrow. You could drive for 100 miles, and every single house by a poor person of color right across the street from a big agri company is polluting. Any of that ever get into the news? Not a word. Any of their stories? Not a word. And every single person says the same thing. You can't drink the water, you can't breathe the air, and they're poor. Who's helping them? How about nobody? Companies getting the largest subsidies? The farm industry. $22 billion. Boeing, $13 billion. General Motors, $3.5 billion. Royal Dutch Shell, $2 billion. Next Era Energy, $1.9 billion. NRG Energy, $1.7 billion. Dow Chemical, $1.4 billion. Summit Power, $1.4 billion. Goldman Sachs is getting a subsidy on top of the billions in profit they make, $662,000. Google, a subsidy to Google, the most evil corporation in the world. 632,000. Walt Disney, 382,000. Walmart, yes, Walmart got a subsidy, 150,000. So now you realize these are the people profiting on our inability or lack of desire or understanding of how to look for the truth and then stop using their products. Stop listening to their radio programs. Stop watching them on television. Stop reading the New York Times and stop buying their clothes. That's how we take back the power. Never trust anyone in government. I don't know a politician I trust at any level because the system is so utterly corrupt and captured. Yet all of them sit in a position of power over our lives. Who do you know in a position of power who's better than you? No one is. And if these fools, these sociopaths, act as if somehow they're entitled to rule the day, and we then are supplicants to that. Those are my thoughts on Earth Day. I'm not going to play my clip from the UN today where I called out right in front of me, sitting right looking at me, all the environmental organizations and being very specific about who accepted money from major polluters and then decided not to touch that topic at all. I named names. I pointed to them in the audience. You'll see it. But I want to end the program today with a clip. This is a clip, Jesse, and I want to thank one of our outstanding citizen journalists. Right now, she is supplying a lot of information. Some we don't use, but occasionally there's some ones that are really good. Her name is Valentina Farsi. And mind you, she has no background in the field. None. But she didn't even go to college, but she chose in that innate wisdom to seek the truth on important issues. She found it. This is one. You haven't seen this. You haven't heard this. But this is now all the rage in Europe, getting the implant chip. And no one asks in this film, what is the downside? If they can put in this chip information that allows me to bank, can they take data from me? Can they in any way implant in this chip something that could adversely affect me? Are they gaining access to my biometrics? What part of my body am I giving up the rights to? None of this is asked. And those are the more important questions. Now to that clip.
The city of Lund in southern Sweden dates back to medieval times. Over the centuries, it's witnessed plenty of change, but now there's a whole new sort of evolution going on. I'm here to meet some of the thousands of people in the country who are adapting their own bodies, who are inserting microchips under their skin. It means they may never have to carry a house key, train ticket, or bank card ever again. This is a microchipping party.
And applause, yeah.
Hannah's getting an electronic chip implanted into her hand. She believes one day we'll all be chipped like her.
So congratulations, Hannah.
Thank you.
You've been chipped?
Yes, I have.
How does it feel?
It feels good. I'm excited to see what I'll be able to do now.
Can I touch it?
Yeah, you can feel it there. I feel like this is the future. It's the next big thing that's going to happen. Happy cyborg birthday.
Happy cyborg birthday to you. Congratulations.
But is this sci-fi fantasy or practicality? I want to know why anyone would want to do this. For this teenager, microchips, it seems, are in her DNA.
Felicia is my daughter and I'm the father.
So you're a microchip family?
We will become one now today.
Magnus and his daughter Felicia have come here together tonight because they believe this is the future.
You're going to have an upgraded dad.
Yeah.
As they say, it was good being a human, but being a cyborg is better.
Didn't feel a thing.
I think the healing show
up. Right,
it's a quick, simple procedure with potentially huge significance.
So you're officially part machine. How does it feel?
This is awesome. How cool is that? Good job.
Do you think in a few years' time, in a decade perhaps, we'll all have things like this?
Yes, of course. Right, so I really do think.
For around £130, anyone can get a tiny microchip like this inserted just beneath the skin in their hands. I can't help feeling a bit squeamish about it, but maybe I'm just behind the times. It's the morning after, and I'm about to catch up with Felicia and her dad, Magnus, as they get to grips with their new existence.
So when you woke up this morning,
mm-hmm.
was it the first thing that came to your mind? How did you feel?
I felt a little bit strange because now I'm a cyborg and it feels pretty cool.
The chips in their hands use near-field communication, the same technology that allows you to pay with a contactless credit card. They can be read by a device like a smartphone.
So here I've stored my business card on my phone with my details, phone number, email address, other stuff, blood group even.
So what's the benefit of that?
When I get customers or suppliers at work, they ask for my business card and I say, scan me.
Aren't there risks involved in that as well? Couldn't somebody pass you by and take
scan
all that information?
Me. Yes, it is in theory possible, but you have to be really, really close. But the main thing I think is that I choose myself what I want to store on this chip.
The people I've met so far don't seem to have any concerns about blurring the lines between man and machine. Hannes has made it his mission to convince more of us to get microchipped. He's what's known as a biohacker, someone who wants to improve their body with technology.
What's wrong with just having contactless payment cards? We've all got phones. We've all got a set of keys. Mm. What's the point?
The point is to reduce the hassle of exactly these things.
Isn't that just the ultimate laziness?
No, it's convenience. And convenience is a pretty powerful force. I mean, in the morning, every morning, when you stand there going out your front door, you check your purse or your pockets. Okay, do I have my wallet, my charger, my keys, my phone, all my stuff? What if you could reduce that by half? It would declutter your life.
Hannes has helped develop several microchips. He wants us all to hack our biology. Microchipping is, he says, just the start.
I want us humans to open up and improve our sensory universe, our cognitive functions, and improve all different dimensions of being human. And there is so much we can do.
You want to make us bionic?
Indeed. I want to merge humans with technology, and I think it will be awesome.
I want to understand why it's people in Sweden who are enthusiastically embracing this idea, when many others might be...
I just wanted to hear part of that. He's excited, his daughter's excited, others are excited about being cyborgs. Part human, part machine. Of course, he's not even aware, or is and is not discussing, the impact of electromagnetic pulses, because anyone who has that wristband that lets you read your pulse at any given time or other communications from anywhere, that communication is coming by satellite. That's an electromagnetic pulse into your body 24/7. Any studies on that? Yes. On our next program, I'm going to show you the latest on 5G, because they're all concerned about 5G connecting to the Internet of all things. So your entire biology, they want to have on a chip. Your passport, your vaccine passport, will be on the same chip. So you could just walk through any place and say, I can go into this movie theater, I can go into this ballpark because I've got the chip. Wow. And not a single concern about who controls the program that was put on that chip. What don't we know, since we now know that the government, in its private partnerships with major corporations, has lied to the public constantly. Remember, the government knew, the FDA knew, that tobacco caused addiction. and hence millions of people, at least 7 to 10 million people in America, died from smoking cigarettes over a 100-year period. But the proprietary interest in protecting the patent of the people manufacturing the product was more important. That shows you the ethic and morality that does not exist in the governmental agencies, any governmental agency. And yet, you're going to trust these people? You're going to trust corporate America? Okay. But I'm going to have on some experts in the next couple of days to show you why you should question that trust. And yet, it's the new phenomena. Having parties, injectable parties, let's all go and get chipped. Wow. So do you really think those people who are that mindless, that disconnected from reality, are going to care about the environment and going vegan and creating more sustainable country? No, not at all. For all of our friends at BAI, thank you for listening. For everyone else, we're going to go to the top of the hour, and I'm going to ask you to call in and share your points of view. 888-874-4888. Your turn to talk back to this issue. In the interim, let me share a few more things that I think are important. And right now, there is a huge interest in what happens now that glyphosate has been proven to be carcinogenic. There are over 100,000 people joining in multiple class action lawsuits against the former Monsanto, now owned by Bayer. But here's the latest by Claire Robinson from GM Watch. Quote, glyphosate-based herbicides do not contribute to sustainable agriculture. Scientific paper concludes that glyphosate-based herbicides such as Roundup harm human and animal health, soils, and biodiversity. And by the way, they kill the bees with the neonicotinoids. And the bees are responsible for one out of every three foods that we end up consuming, because one-third of all agriculture has to come from the germination process of them pollinating. And we're killing them. So those who lied to us in the media, who protected the special interests that advertised in their media, you were lied to, you were used. That's the latest on that. Also, this is from Virginia Tech today. Freshwater salt pollution threatens ecosystem health and human water scarcity and security. Quote, water touches virtually every aspect of human society, and all life on Earth requires it. Yet fresh, clean water is becoming increasingly scarce. 1 in 8 people on the planet lack access to clean water. Drivers of freshwater salt pollution, such as de-icers on roads and parking lots and water softeners and wastewater and industrial discharges, further threaten freshwater ecosystems, health, and human water security. Inland freshwater salt pollution is rising nationwide and worldwide, and we investigated the potential conflict between managing freshwater salt pollution and the sustainable practice of increasing water supply through the addition of highly treated wastewater to surface waters and groundwaters. So what they're saying, and this was published in Nature Sustainability, is that the water that we took for granted is now getting polluted, and that pollution is going into our aquifers, and our aquifers is where a lot of our water comes from. Are we aware of it? No. We should be. It's important. Thank you for your call. I'm Gary Nall. Have a nice day, everyone.